It is your girl, Brandi Grayson, here on 92.7 FM, WMDX. You are tuned into the Black Conversion Show. The girl who does definitely get it from her mama. I am so excited today. I have some special guests in the studio. Y'all know we don't really do guests too often, but today we got two special guests. Cousin Clyde, we have no idea where that brother's at. You know, he come and go as he please. You know, he be like, I'm on my way, then he not on his way. He just like a ghost. So we just gonna see if the brother show up or not and see where that go. But in the studio with me, I have Brene Nicole. She is the owner of House of Beauty in Madison, Wisconsin, Black owned salon, right?
Yes,
and a whole bunch of other stuff. Introduce yourself to the listeners.
So as you said, I'm Brene Nicole.
Uh-huh, there you go.
And I'm excited to be on the show, first of all.
Yeah.
Because as you've been in the chair, we've talked about this for a long time.
Yes.
And you did it, and I'm so proud of you.
Thank you.
I'm so honored to be here.
Okay, period.
And I am a stylist. I am
entrepreneur.
Innovator.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I have a product line. I do everything I want to do.
Okay,
that's,
period.
That's what I do.
And when she say product line, she means like hairline, right?
Yes.
Edge control, shampoo, conditioner.
Yes.
Anything that's good for your hair, she got it. Mm-hmm. She's located at 1702 South Park Street, Madison, Wisconsin. Inside her shop, she also has a boutique where you sell items, right?
Yes.
Clothes.
Yes. Beauty supplies.
Beauty supplies. You also do theater and art?
Yes. I'm a playwright. I have a couple of books on Amazon right now.
What's the name of your books?
One is called,
what? Girl, you're so funny.
Voices Behind the Chair.
Okay.
With a few other, local stylists.
Okay.
The idea came from Andrea.
Okay, period.
Yes. And that was really enjoyable. The other one is called The Five Stack Strategy.
Okay.
Of how to build a business without going into the money that you make behind the chair.
Okay.
To take care of your overhead.
Okay, period.
And that can really be used for any business, but
I like it. Yes. Okay, cool. So I invited Brene Nicole and Denise, and Denise will introduce herself in a sec. I invited them both here because we were technically scheduled to have like a panel type of discussion with Black men, Black women about this trend on Black men and generally speaking, men in general, moving from being rooted in provision and providing to being the one to be provided for. And it's not all relationships, but what we have discovered through talking to people in the shop, you know, she mm-hmm. talks to the one thing about, we're going to talk about the power of Black salons
yes.
and Black shops and barber shops and importance to Black culture and mm-hmm. communities. If you're trying to engage Black people, I just want my white folks and other people to know your first stop should be at barber shops and Black salons. That's where politics mm-hmm. and politics and conversations occur. So as a owner in a stylist, she has a lot of conversations with women and men surrounding relationships. So in her conversation, she's also overheard some trends. So I thought, perfect, bring you in. You talk about it. And she is married, happily married. And then we have Denise. And again, to our listeners, this is the Black Conversion Show, 92.7 FM, with your girl, Brandi Grayson, hostess with the mostest. And I'm just introducing our guest, Denise, my girl. Tell us who you are, what you do in the world. And you guys might know Denise from Madison. She was here before and moved away. I'm just going to tell a little bit about your tea. And then she came back.
Yes.
But before she left, she was like one of the first Black people from Madison that went on American Idols.
Yes.
Right?
Okay. Yes.
Okay. Yes. Okay. Yes. Tell us more. Tell us more, Denise.
Yeah. So, hi, my name is Denise Jackson. Mm-hmm. To a lot of people, that's my professional name.
Okay.
My real name, Denise Baker.
Okay. Okay.
But I am a singer, actress, and I am an artist, and
okay.
I'm sensitive
about my
okay. Thank you. Yes. And I was in Texas for the last 10 years, mm-hmm. and decided to move back to Madison, and this has definitely been a journey. My husband just opened his business, DVB's Cajun Cafe.
Period.
So we're open for catering. He's working on his truck, and I'm so excited for him.
Yay. Yes. What kind of food does he cater?
Cajun. So like catfish.
Oh, girl, you didn't even tell me. And we do events all the time.
I know. Well, he's just opening.
Getting started.
Like, he's just getting started.
Okay, so how do we find him? How do we find
him? Directly through me.
Okay, so now.
He has a page. He's a chef. He's a real chef. And this is our first time starting a business.
Okay.
So it's exciting.
Yeah, yeah.
It is. And I'm happy to be doing it with him.
So. Okay, period.
Yeah.
That is super exciting. So you're an artist, you're a stylist, you sing. If you need to book a singer, she your girl, she could sing. She just don't sing. She sang.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
And very much so with that gospel soul. And tell us how folks can find you on Facebook.
You can find me on Facebook at Denise Jackson Music.
Okay. And they can just send you a message like, hey, let me get some of that catfish.
Oh, yeah. Send or look up Chef Stephen Baker.
Okay. Chef Stephen Baker. Okay. Because I'm going to need some of that.
Yeah. Yeah. For sure. And I do eyebrows and lashes at Vernie Nicole's.
Okay. So if you need your eyebrows done or your lashes done, come visit Denise at 1702 South Park Street at Vernie Nicole's House of Beauty. It sits right in that big white building right across Winger, the creek. It's a creek, a river. I don't know what that thing is, but y'all know. By the labor, right across from the Labor Temple. So anyway, thank you guys for joining me today, and thanks for the introduction. So we talked about your business, and then we sometimes do a check-in at the beginning of the show just to bring people present. So I'll start with me. My check-in is that Urban Triage. Okay, I'm gonna share this, and I know y'all be like, you know, you always talking about the haters, but this is what I want to say. Okay, so one of the things that has been occurring over and over again for Urban Triage is these allegations of not having, you know, having financially sound mechanisms or internal controls for the money that we manage. And that conversation, of course, is happening with white men throughout Dane County who have some reason have become very obsessed with me. They don't need to be named, but every week there's some type of article, some type of something that's being dropped about Brandi Grayson specifically. So I bring this up because we just have completed all of our audits. You know, in June, July, this is when you complete your audits for your nonprofit. And Urban Triage had multiple audits, not just a single audit that's required. Oh, my goodness. I got something in my throat. Not just a single audit that's required for all nonprofits, but we had an audit that HUD, the federal housing people, sent us through because these same people contacted them when we got a $2 million grant for our youth housing system improvement initiative and told HUD all these lies. So then HUD's response was, okay, then we'll do our own financial monitoring and audit of only your financial system. So I just want to say to all my haters and the people who love me that we are completely done with our audits and look all of God. Them are all clean.
Yes.
Period. Not a dash point gray spot area of any improvement. Just kind of like, hey, you can probably create a policy around this, but nothing that's like, you don't know what you're doing. Okay. Yes, so I just want to say that to all the listeners here on the Black Conversion Show. So that's my positive news for y'all haters out there. And I know people be like, don't address them, but I want to address them
because
it's been months with these audits, y'all. So anyway, it is done. It's complete. I'm super happy. Shout out to my team. I know on every Thursday, y'all, at Urban Triage, we are swamped at Urban Triage. Our office is located 2312 South Park Street, right down the street from Vernie Nicole. So if you can come and stop and see us, you can stop and see them. Okay, Southside, Madison, okay. That's where most Black folks' businesses are or started at one point. Anyway, so on Thursdays, just for our listeners, if you are interested in receiving free produce, we give out free produce from our organic farm, which is located in Verona at the Farley Center. And every Thursday, we bring all these vegetables, we harvest and bring them to the community. You can stop and grab some. No need to sign up. We don't ask you for any information. We don't need your name. We just check off a box. We just count the people that come, but we don't get demographics. So stop through. Free produce is every Thursday between 1 p.m. and 4:30 p.m. at 2312 South Park Street. So that's what's going on with Urban Triage. In addition, Urban Triage has kicked off our Supporting Healthy Black Elders work group. And our Supporting Healthy Black Elders work group is a group that's intentionally focused on Black elders, helping them navigate systems, healthcare, and also learn and about education. So all of our stuff is around trauma recovery and history. So teaching them too how to show up differently, maybe for their family. How do you show up now that you're retired? What kind of, you know, and skill building, and also offering community social events for our elders. And can I just say, have anybody here worked with older Black people before?
Yes.
Yes.
How is that?
is working with elder Black people, older Black people?
You have to have patience for sure.
Why?
Because, oh my goodness.
Well, I personally love the wisdom.
Yes.
Yeah, so you got the wisdom of the older people.
Right.
And then you have to get them up to speed with the new system of things.
Right.
So it kind of, it works out, you know, but sometimes it could be a challenge.
It could be a
challenge. Because it's like you're like worlds apart. Mm-hmm. So you're trying to write notes on the phone. They trying to write notes on a piece of paper.
Yeah.
And you're like, where do I find the notes? And they like, I put them, you know.
Yeah. And most importantly, what I've noticed about Black elders, they just don't care. They don't care nothing about you.
I kind of like that part, though.
That's all right.
I can't wait till I get to the age where I just don't care.
I mean, they have no care.
I think it's around 70.
Well, the group is for 55 and up, and there's some 55 and up people in there, and they don't care. Okay, and what I mean is, I could be teaching, girl, and they'll just start talking. Right?
Oh, my God.
They start talking to each other.
Right.
Start asking questions. And it, last week I had to be like, can y'all just be quiet? And you know, you try to be all polite to your elders. They're your elders, right? Like, you can't just tell them, like, kids, you'd be like, girl, you know. But they worse than the kids. I mean, but it is so much fun. I'm so excited.
Somebody once said, they was like, oh, I feel so sorry for aunt. I ain't going to say their name.
Yeah.
And they was like, because she loses her memory.
Uh-huh.
You know, every time we talk about something, she forgets.
Yeah. Right.
I'm like, well, it really don't matter, does it? Because she done forgot about it. You the one having a problem.
She don't even care, real talk. So shout out to all of our participants of our work group. We are really excited. Shout out to our team, because Thursdays is a little hard for us. On Thursdays, we have two work groups at the same time. One starts, one ends, and then we have produce pickup. So if you come to our office and we look a little frazzled, please give us some grace today or any Thursday. So anyway, getting back to the conversation, I just wanted us to do an intro and talk about our businesses. One thing we're going to start off today with is Black from the Past, but we're actually going to play the clip after our break because I think it's like 5 minutes or so. But what I want to say to you guys, when you think about Black history, what is the thing that stands out the most to you when it comes to people known as Black that you think people should know? I'll start with you, Nene.
This is a large topic because it's so much.
Yeah.
What is it that about Black people that I think?
Well, just our history. Like, what's the thing that stand out to you? Like, people should know this, and they may or may not know it, but they should know this.
I think for me, it's the fact that we've been through so much, but we don't get to express it every day. Like, you look at the movie Straw.
Yeah.
Some people think it's too much. It's over-exaggerated. Why do they have to depict Black women like that?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Is it okay that I said the name of the movie?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
You can say what you want as long as it's not cuss words.
Oh, okay. So that can sometimes be the real day of a Black woman.
Yeah.
And we're so expected to put on a good face.
Yeah.
To show the best parts of us. But sometimes we just need each other.
Compassion.
And because so much has been put into separating us, a lot of times we have those type of days that we don't have anybody to support us.
That's real.
Yeah.
That's real. And everybody should check out the movie Straw. It is a very profound movie, and it's shocking because the end is like, oh my God, this is a Tyler Perry movie that broke the box office, as always, that Tyler Perry does when he's giving a depiction of Black people and specifically Black women. So check that out. And then when we return, I'll come to you, Denise, but when we return, we'll play the clip from John Bryan, and I'll give you more information about him. But let's do our Black from the Past when we return. Turn here on 92.7 FM. You're tuned in to the Black Conversion Show with your girl Brandi Grayson, the hostess of With the Milstis. We'll be back in a jiff. I'm so
deep in my bag. You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
What is this, Luke? Oh, this is Beyonce. Okay, I accept it. You're tuned in to the 92.7 FM, the Black Conversion Show, with your girl, Brandi Grayson, and my producer, my favorite white producer, Luke, is back from his holiday vacation. I don't know who he thinks he is taking a vacation. How are you, Luke? I didn't ask you in the last segment.
I'm good.
You good?
All good. You got a jam-packed show today, don't worry. I take the back seat.
Okay.
I'm just
like
here.
A woman putting you in the backseat. What other stuff? Come on.
You take care of your business. This is your show.
Just ain't right. And then the assumptions. I heard the country music. I was like, what is that? I forgot Beyonce's country now. Okay. Right. So anyway, thank you guys for tuning in. I have special guest Verna Nicole from House of Beauty. And then I have Denise Stevenson Baker Jackson. I just kept I didn't know what to call.
All of them.
All of them. Okay, cool. So today we just got through our introductions, really business information. But I want us to go straight into the conversation about Black history. And I'm going to have Luke play a clip from John Bryant, who's a CEO of this nonprofit. I think it's called Hope Incorporated. But he's a financial literacy guy. He's a moneymaker. But let's go ahead and hear his clip, and then we'll talk about it. Go ahead, Luke.
Africans and Black Caribbeans and Black Americans are different. Black Africans and Black Caribbeans are closer, almost identical. They have high, and I'm generalizing now, but generalization is pretty accurate. They have high self-esteem and lower levels of confidence. Black Americans have higher levels of confidence and lower levels of self-esteem. Because if slavery lasted here longer, it was turned into a business, and it was an intentional desire to destroy your spirit. Because if they had this Black man here, coming here with all that build and all that brawn from Africa. By the way, they say they went to Africa. Oh, we're dumb. We're stupid. Knock that off. 1600s, 1500s was an agricultural age. The wealthiest gold in America, in the world, were cotton crops and sugar crops and tobacco crops, which are in areas which were very humid, very hot, and the soil was almost dead. Who could master dead soil? Africans. So they went halfway around the world to find the geniuses of the soil. They brought us halfway around the world because we could build wealth for them and income. But they didn't need this brother's attitude. They needed his body. So they separated from his family, so he had no hope. They abused his wife and held him down so he couldn't protect her until he gave up his self-esteem. Now he's just machinery. So now, 400 years later, we never healed. So if I don't like me, I'm not going to like you. If I don't feel good about me, I'm not going to feel good about you. If I don't respect me, don't expect me to respect you. If I don't love me, I don't have a clue how to love you. And here's the big one. If I don't have a purpose in my life, I'm going to make your life a living hell. Whatever goes around, comes around. So we have high confidence, Jerome, because we've competed and succeeded against all odds in the biggest economy on the planet. So we have high confidence because we're competent. But we have low self-esteem, which is why you have crab in the barrel. It's why somebody's sitting there going, what is he talking about? My life.
Right, basically.
Why would anybody have anything with something positive to say right now? So if you got a problem with me, you need to check yourself. I don't even know you.
Okay.
So as Quincy Jones once said, not 1 ounce of my self-esteem depends on your acceptance of me.
Okay.
So it's okay if you don't like me, I like me. Now, Black Africa, y'all, come on now. We having church in here. Now, Black Africans and Caribbeans experienced slavery lower for a shorter period of time, and they experienced family structure and role modeling for a longer period of time. The mayor was Black. The governor was Black. The premier was Black. The dentist was Black. The barber was Black. The thief was Black. Everybody was Black. Together families. So they have higher self-esteem. But they have lower confidence because they didn't succeed in a market economy. It makes perfect sense. So when you come, that's why when Black Africans or Caribbeans come here, within 2 or 3 years, they're killing it. Yet the Ethiopians in Washington, D.C., they're at the Park Hyatt, parking the cars. Within a couple of days, they've hired the buddies to be valets. Within a few weeks, They're also the taxi drivers. Within a couple months, they got some. They put the money in for an Uber car. Now they got a black car. Now they got three black cars. Now they live together. Now they're entire. They have their entire staff of the front. In the front of the lobby, they have the valets, they got the taxi, they got the Ubers. They're willing to rent you an apartment if you want one.
Okay.
I mean, they but that's because the hustle was the only ingredient that they missed, the opportunity. Black people, Black Americans are the role models for the world. But we've got a little bit confused because we think that's enough. We're also depressed. I think that 70% of Black Americans clinically undiagnosed depressed. And I can't prove that number. I love number. I can't prove that one. Whenever I talk to somebody, our people in a real conversation, can I get an amen?
Amen.
So when we're having a real conversation, we just have to heal so we can deal. Yeah. Now, if we can heal, which is real wealth, and heal ourselves and love ourselves, now we can have a relationship. Now, in a relationship, it's the only time where it should be multiplication and not math. So if a relationship, if 2 + 2 does not equal 6, 8, or 10, what are you doing? If you're not better together, what are you doing? When you go to the club tonight, what's tonight? Tonight's Saturday? When you go to the club tonight, what's tonight? Right. Entrepreneurs, we work 18 hours, they keep getting a job. We go 18 hours and six, and we have a nap for 6 hours. That's it. So, yeah, I don't know what day it is. You go to the club tonight? Oh, man, she's fine. Oh,
so we're going to go ahead and stop that, Luke. But I think what I was trying to get is to the relationship piece, because he did a good job providing the content. So when we return here on 92.7 FM on the Black Conversion Show with your girl, Brandi Grayson, we're going to dissect what we just heard. I want us to connect our past to our present and how we get to a healed future with Black. And I'm talking specifically about Black relationships, because Black love is revolutionary. Hmm. Stay tuned here on 92.7 FM. We'll be back in the Jeff. All right, now let me upgrade you. I don't think I want to upgrade no men. But you're tuned in to 92.7 FM with your girl Brandi Grayson, the hostess with the mostest, here on the Black Conversion Show with my guest co-host today, Vernae Nicole from House of Beauty, and Denise Stevenson Baker Jackson in the house. She got a lot of stage names because she do a lot.
Every time you say that, I'm going to laugh.
So prior to break, we heard a clip from John Bryant. He is a CEO of an organization, nonprofit called Hope. He is an entrepreneur rooted and grounded in financial literacy and the edification and liberation of people known as Black. And in that clip, what we heard him talk about is many things. But because I do most of the talking all the time on this show, I want to ask you, Denise, what stood out the most from what he talked about, in your opinion?
Oh, my goodness. The evolution of the Black man, like why we act how we act. Mm-hmm. And it made sense. It's like you're missing ingredients. Mm. These Black people can come over and get right to it because they were just missing opportunity.
Right.
But we're missing esteem. Like you have to believe in yourself. Yes. To make it. It's just there's no other way. So that stood out.
That's real. When I worked at YWCA as director of employment, I was ahead of all the job training programs. And what I witnessed and observed there is people known as Black, no matter what their background was, their history, their education level, the hard skills, the competence to learn a new skill was prevalent. Like they would learn it with instantly. But could they enter that particular field, like STEM field or IT field, and be successful? It was hard. And it was hard not because of the hard skill, but because of the self-esteem. Mm-hmm. They didn't believe in themselves.
Yes.
So I spent most of my time trying to encourage them and empower them to understand their own beneficence. But you can't be someone's life coach, therapist, and teacher all at once.
Yes, yes.
You know, so that goes back to what he said. Like, we really need to get into this healing space. All people known as Black, Black women included. How about you, Vernae Nicole? What were your takeaways from some things that he talked about?
So for me, it really hit with the confidence. You know, a lot of times we don't go after things because we lack the confidence. Mm-hmm. And we're often told if somebody else is doing it, you can't do the same thing. Mm-hmm. And so once that hits, it's like, well, am I good enough? Am I as good as the next person? And it makes me think about another movie. Django.
Oh, I love Django.
Yes. Me too. When he was riding a horse, and he was like, he riding a horse, you know?
He said, master, master, who that N-word on that horse,
yeah,
master?
That's what he had said. So that's what he said, and it was like, all of us can't ride a horse at the same time. But the reality is, it's enough horses for all of us to ride.
Yeah.
You know, and so that creates the crab in the barrel attitude where we step on one another just to get ahead.
Yeah.
But if we just build one another up, you'll have more fun at the top because it'll be more people with you, right?
Yeah, that's real.
That enjoy the same thing that you enjoy and that you could work together because, you know, it's enough room for all of us.
Yeah, and yeah. For folks who missed the soundbite that we played by John Bryant, what he said was that Americans, the colonizers, white people went to Africa to get the geniuses who... Vinay, you know we can hear everything on the mic. Like, what are you doing right now? Like, what is she doing? Now she's talking away from the mic, yelling. Like, what is happening? This is why you can't invite people on your show. You tried to be professional, Luke. You tried to proper. Didn't you, Luke? Didn't you proper?
Yes.
Look at Luke like,
keep sorry.
It takes me a while to warm up.
Okay. Show be over by the time she warm up. It's like, just be gone. I'm just messing with you, girl. So one of the things that he was talking about is how the colonizers, Europeans, went to Africa to get the folks who were the geniuses at the soil. The soil here wasn't good soil, so it had to be worked. It had to be, you know, poured into. And they needed and also what he said is that they went and got us, the Africans, but they needed our bodies and not our minds. They didn't need our attitudes. They didn't need us to think, right? So part of making sure that we worked the land was to remove our self-esteem, to make sure we were beat, you know, dehumanized. And then that led to this way of being for people known as Black, where I don't like me. And if I don't like me, I don't like you. And I hated me. And if I hate me, I hate you. And led to this way of being where I felt like I didn't have a purpose. And if I don't have a purpose, then I can do nothing but make your life hell, right? And if I don't love me, then I can't love you. So then we have the situation where Black men and Black women find themselves in, where it's really, our relationships are really complicated. So we can't just pick up a book on relationships and how to be a man or how to be a woman or how to be a wife or how to be a husband, because there's so many nuances as it relates to our internal dialogues that we often project and vomit on each other. And so I'll just say that. That's what he said. And then he said, because we existed in slavery the longest of all Africans, like from Africans that stayed in Africa to Africans that were moved to the Caribbeans and the island, they still had Black structure, right? They still, anywhere they went, there was Black people, Black doctors, Black, he even said Black criminals. Everywhere you went, there was Black people. Unlike in America, where people known as Black was actually surrounded by white structures, white systems, redlining, this way of being that kept us out and then reminded us all the time that we were less than, which created this inferiority complex that a lot of Black Americans embody. And we cannot disembody it until we intentionally and deliberately do the work of healing. So that's what I heard him say, and that oftentimes it looks like Black Americans have a lot more confidence than Africans because our confidence is rooted in us surviving the unsurvivable, right?
So
and being able, so you be like, you see Black people like, why are they so happy and so confident? Because we know that we've survived the unthinkable, right?
Mm-hmm. So, side note.
Yeah.
My Nana, she's extra white, right?
Mm-hmm. Like in skin color?
Like, no, she's just white in real life.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
So, she sometimes just like, she gets so worried about me.
Yeah.
And she'll call and she'll just go down a rabbit hole and I try to calm her down. And one time I said to her, I said, Nana, I can't worry about what the government is doing. Do you know my people crossed the ocean?
Okay, that part.
Do you know that my grandmother raised 12 grandkids?
Yes.
On one job.
Like, okay.
It's like we do the unthinkable or the
unimaginable.
Yeah, like, right. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, you go.
Oh, yeah, but that's what I was saying. That's why I try to explain to my friends from other cultures, like, Black people are, like, resilient.
Yeah.
Like, we don't die, we multiply.
We multiply. Yes. Now, we ain't Bebe kids now.
We ain't Bebe kids.
Luke, you know who Bebe kids are? Look at Luke's face.
Nope. You got to see this Luke. Oh, Bebe's kids.
Google it, Luke. Google it. Right. It was what we grew up in, what, in the 80s, the 90s? When did Bebe kids come out? It was a cartoon.
I think it was like the
90s.
93? Yeah. Okay, so it was like this cartoon about black little black kids who were Bebe's. Like, they were bad as heck and they lived in the ghetto. And yeah. they looked real ashy on TV.
Yeah.
It was funny. It wasn't. Yes. I thought it was hilarious. So that's funny. So you're tuned into the Black Conversion Show here on 92.7 FM with your girl Brandi Grayson, the hostess with the mostest. But we're just talking about the history of Black people and the history of Black Africans really across the diaspora, right? Like from the Caribbean to Africa to here, and how we are cultivated a little different. And John Bryan said that the folks who are from the Caribbean and Africa, they come here and they see opportunities, so they take advantage of it. But they come here and they're full of self-esteem. There's nothing that they haven't felt. They haven't been conditioned to believe in their inferiority. And that's, I wish I had this clip from Dr. Umar, who was talking about how when Black women get with Africans, they can't speak to Black Africans the way they speak to Black American men. And on that podcast, the guy was like, well, they need not to speak to African-American men like that either. And he said, well, there's a difference, because the African-American men created this way of being for women that make them more masculine. Mm. And because of the lack of self-esteem of Black Americans, men and women, we vomit on one another. So it makes this dynamic. So we lack respect for one another because we lack respect for ourselves. And
now,
Africans, when they come, they're not coming with that low self-esteem or lack of respect for their woman in that way.
Yeah.
Because there is lack of respect because of patriarchy and misogyny, because that still exists. Because I said, there's some nuances and some complexities. I can't even say the word, but you know what I'm saying. Anyway, so what are your other thoughts based on what he was saying and the history of Black people and this dynamic that was created, not by our doing?
It just makes me think about the post-traumatic slave syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
And how we pass those attitudes down.
Yeah.
How much we need to heal.
Yeah.
How much we're doing a podcast.
Yeah.
And it's called Walking Into Rooms,
mm-hmm.
Healed, Holy, and Unbothered.
Yeah.
And so it's like learning how to heal on a regular basis.
Yes.
Because are
yes.
we ever really healed?
No.
Exactly. You know?
Mm-hmm.
So we have to take initiative to heal on a regular basis.
Deliberately.
And some things you can heal from it, and then something bring it back up, and you got to start
again. You got to take some step back. Yeah. That's real.
And speaking of unbothered, that's how I feel. It's like you're healing every day.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I've learned to stop letting things bother me.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
Just because,
I like it.
You know what I mean? Yeah. You don't have to be bothered just because there's something going on.
I love it.
Mm-hmm. You know, some things don't even have nothing to do with you.
Yeah, that's what I'm learning.
Yeah.
Like,
and that's a way of being from a spiritual perspective too, and kind of Eastern Buddha type of way of being, is when you can master your emotions, when you can master yourself, when you can master your own peace and not be moved by other people outside of you, that's when you really have power. And that's one thing I'm practicing now, is really how do I keep my power by remaining silent. You know, because that's one thing I've been working on most of my life, because I am I'm a firecracker, okay? So, but really learning to distinguish when it's time to speak and when it's time to be silent, no matter who's coming for you, right? Like, who cares if you're coming for me? Who cares if you have allegations? Who cares if you have a problem? Who cares if you wrote an article? But there's been times when I've been so hurt and that I had to take a step back and look at my own self and like, why did this hurt me so much? Mm-hmm. And it's really based in my ego, right?
Yes.
And that healing work and that deep down work is like, why don't they love me? Why don't they accept me? Why don't they see this marvelous work that I'm doing and the power of urban triage and our deliverables and how dope we are and how dope our staff is. Why? But that ain't even about me. That's my ego talking, right? And we have to be able to learn in our healing journey to distinguish our ego from our spirit and what true alignment is. And one thing I heard a guru say the other day is talking too soon is that sometimes you have an aha moment or the spirit speaks to you and you share it too soon, and now you mess your own blessings up and your ability to keep going, because as soon as you speak it, there's going to be people who don't get it.
Yes.
That's going to then like take your energy and try to shrink what it is that you're, you know, where you're moving, you know. And it's like, and I often feel sad sometimes, and this is when I was convicted, because in his lecture he said, if you have people in dark spaces and you go and shine a bright light, mm-hmm. they're not going to want to see that light.
Yes.
You're going to hurt their eyes.
Yes.
They're not going to get what you're talking about. Yes. And then you get upset. Like, they're not listening. I'm trying to wake you up. I'm doing this for you and you need to wake up. But you got to realize that it is not your job to wake people up.
Yes.
Right. Come and they on. Have their own journey. And that's something I have to like really, really like intentionally watch in myself and my self-awareness. My job, even though I walk around saying I'm here to, you know, empower, transform, inspire. And I am here to do that, but I'm not here to force it in others. Yes. I'm here to be it.
Come on, yes.
And through your being, then you attract people who want to be it too. Mm-hmm. And then that's where you do the teaching and the education and the edification of others. And that is true healing. So I just wanted, because that was right in tune with that.
Yes, yeah. Yes.
Nini, I know you want something. You got something to say. We got a couple seconds before we take another break.
And so that makes me think about how usually the way people respond to you is where they sit.
Yes,
that's that their part. Mindset.
Yes, that's their
and
projection.
We have to be mindful that that really doesn't have anything to do with us.
Mm-hmm.
We can't define ourselves by other people's opinions.
Yes.
And so whenever I walk into a room now, I try to make sure that I clear.
Yeah, hold that thought, because we're going to continue that thought after our break. So for our folks who are just tuning in, we're talking about the need for people known as Black to do deliberate healing and to increase our self-esteem and our emotional intelligence, because that's where we create and thrive. Here on 92.7 FM, you're listening to the Black Conversion Show. We'll be back in a jiff.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Okay, okay, Luke, I feel you. Now I feel like I'm in a club. Hey. You are tuned in to 92.7 FM with your girl, Brandi Grayson, here on the Black Conversion Show with my special guest, Denise Baker Jackson Stevenson. And that is not her whole name, but I get a real kick after saying all her last names.
I love it.
So anyway, prior to break, we were talking about, you know, the impact really of slavery and the residual consequences for people known as Black on our self-esteem and our ability to see our own worth and our own greatness, which leads to this way of being in the world where we actually do have opportunities and don't take advantage of it. Mm-hmm. And how other people known as Black Africans and Caribbean people will come here and take advantage of the opportunities and the resources in ways that we may not believe that we can and could, right? But we walk around with confidence but lack self-esteem, and that's based on the history of slavery and the residual effect about being from being enslaved for 400 years, and not just physically enslaved but mentally enslaved. Okay. Mm-hmm. So anyway, any other topic y'all want to talk about? What came up at the end, because we were kind of wrapping up really quick, and I cut you off. So Nini, is there something else you want
to
add?
I think I was talking about how to clear, you know,
yeah.
like clearing before you enter a room. Like, what's in the way of you showing up as your authentic self?
Mm.
You know, sometimes we have these thoughts that are clouding our mind of who we should look like, who we should be. But
who we are.
Like, yes, who we are.
Yeah.
But if we take the time to really think about who we really are, you know, have some rebuttals for ourselves, you know, before and as a way to prepare when you come into the room, and just being able to be outside of yourself.
Yeah,
in
observe,
a sense of
being able to observe yourself.
Yes.
Yeah.
Not worrying about how you look.
Mm.
Not worrying about, do I have to show up perfect? Do I have to, you know, should my body look like this? You know, all the different things that we could probably relate about as women.
Yeah.
And then we get to walk into the room and we get to just be.
Yeah, I like it. What about you, Denise?
I like the fact that you say we get to.
Mm-hmm. We get to, yeah.
I always think, like, every day I wake up and I choose to go somewhere or be in a place, I get to.
Yeah.
I have to. Mm-hmm. And that's really, honest to God, what changed my whole outlook on the world. I don't have to be stressed out about them.
You don't. And we've been talking a lot about this with our urban triage staff because we do personal development and trauma recovery in the work, which can be a little, it's a hard balance with people because it's hard to be accountable for how you're showing up, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we like to give excuses. But one of the things that's come up a lot in the last week for our staff is this already always listening way of being.
Yes.
Where someone's talking to you in a very nice tone, maybe the email is really friendly, but you still take it as aggressive.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right? Or someone's talking to you about something, or they're just short. Like, nope, that's not going to work for me. And now you're like, I don't know why they're talking to me like that. Mm-hmm. And it's not them. It's you. It's your tone. It's not your tone. It's your perception of them. It's their your filter. You're already always listening for them to be a certain kind of way. Like, yes, for Brandy, you're always listening for me to be aggressive. So even when I'm nice and sweet, you miss it, right? And then you're like, oh, she's so aggressive. That was so hard. But it's because of your perception and your filter and not necessarily what's actually occurring in the now. And it is through your healing and your ability to deal with your darkness where you find your peace. And when you find peace, then peace shows up. And this is the thing about even showing up in a room and just you get to be there, but you actually don't get to be there until you heal you. Yes. Because even if you walk in that room without your with your unhealed parts and you affirm yourself, I'm supposed to be here, I'm worthy, I'm enough, it's going to show back up because you haven't done the work to get into discovery of what your triggers are and how your nervous system is programmed to be. Now, this doesn't mean that you stop being that way, because Brandy Grayson has to check herself all the time.
Oh my gosh.
But now you're aware of your way of being. So when you do fall on your face, you can say to the people around you and that you love, like, hey, let me get back in integrity, because I know the way that I showed up wasn't my best self, you know? Yes. Mm-hmm. And that's where the accountability piece comes in.
Yes, I'm not even going to go down the rabbit hole.
Go ahead, Denise.
I don't want to.
Share whatever. You got to share what you want to share, because that's when it's authentic, genuine conversation, girl. Just say it, okay? So it's real. And like, we could feel it.
It's a rabbit hole.
So what, girl? Go ahead. We'll take you back.
Okay. So
bring you back.
Real quick. When you were saying triggers,
yes,
you just said a lot.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of jumping everywhere.
Yeah, it's okay.
But for people don't know, I work for Urban Triage.
Yeah, you did.
And it was for like a month and a half.
Yeah, she came in. Look, she jumped in and jumped out. Like, ooh, ooh, ooh.
But it's a long story. We're going to have to
We got a part two, so you can continue. Just start, girl.
We're going to have to come back and talk about this on another level. But seriously, like, triggers.
Yeah.
Because when I first met you, I still think this of you.
Yeah.
I think you're just such a brilliant light in the world. I love bold people.
Yes.
I'm just learning how to be bold.
Yeah.
And I think my problem was I was just going through a lot.
Yeah.
And I was triggered. And I received information in the way I received it.
Yes.
And then I responded.
Yeah.
Do you see what I'm saying? And then like to the outside world, it was like, ooh, mental illness. What's going on? But when you're not, I guess, it's just so much I want to say.
Yeah.
But when you're like used to people, like you said, people just think I'm aggressive. So all the time I'm going to be aggressive.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You just take that and you tell yourself something in your mind and you answer the questions for the person.
Oh, yeah. That's deep.
Just decide on your own that this person is not going to care about what. And that's just not the truth. And I just want to piggyback off of what you were saying.
Yeah.
Like, why? You could say people do it, but like in a Black community.
Yeah.
Like, we just don't trust each other. Like, we don't trust our...
Because we don't trust ourselves.
The emotion.
But we don't trust ourselves. Yeah. Right? So when you get good people that come in your world, they feel fake. You gotta be fake, right? Like, people tell me all the time before they got to know me that you gotta be fake, because like, you can't be this actual person who cares about people. Like, you're actually not gonna hold space for this. You're not gonna give me another child. You're not gonna give me a break, or you're not gonna, because people don't do that thing.
Okay, honest to God, that's how I felt.
Yeah. Oh, it was?
I felt like she's not gonna care about what I'm
And that's crazy. And you know what's so crazy about that is that that's all I do is care about our people. Like, and we're gonna hold space. That's what Urban Triage is based on. But we're gonna continue this conversation next Saturday, y'all. Stay tuned. They're gonna be our guests for part two. It is going down. We're gonna get more into the conversation on relationships. I think this was a great start to provide the content on the dynamics of people known as Black, because we wanna do our best not to cause harm. So now I think we're ready to move to part two, and let's get into the nitty-gritty of relationships next Saturday. Tune in next Saturday, 11 a.m., 92.7 FM with your girl, Brandy Grayson.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.